Welcome to another Saturday podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Of course, brought to our friends by Jason'sRoofs.com. A little clarification. They do commercial roofing for all different kinds of low-slope roofs. So any contractors out there, if you're listening here on a Saturday, a lot of you guys work on Saturdays, I know, and you're interested in adding this to your existing product line or business, we want to give a shout-out to our friends at Jason'sRoofs.com. Jason'sRoofs.com. We will a little work all over the Midwest, so give them a call today or check them out, Jason'sRoofs.com. All right, Saturday podcast. Today's topic is I saw over the weekend, or it was actually on like Thursday, CBSSports.com did their roundtable where they passed it around to like five different contributors, and they ranked Power Five college football coaches. And I bring Jared Stansberry in here today because I thought it would be interesting, Jared, if we did our own little Big 12 rankings. And here's the criteria that I have come up with, and we will discuss our top 10 in the Big 12. If you're an athletics director and you are hiring a coach in the Big 12, I'm not going to say you're in the state of Texas. You're just in Big 12 country. So you're like a Midwest to the Southern United States university. Mm-hmm. And you're hiring a coach for the next 5 years to lead your program, and you can draft among the 10 Big 12 coaches. That's the criteria I've come up with. Do you have anything else to add to that, or are you comfortable with that?
I think I'm good. I think I'm good.
Okay, who would be your top selection?
Top selection? Or are we going to go from the top?
Oh, you want to go to bottom down?
I'd say the bottom would
okay.
be better.
Who do you
add
have?
Add some suspense to
who
this.
Do you have it, who do you have at number 10?
I've got Cliff Kingsbury at number 10.
So do I. I'm really down on Cliff Kingsbury, too.
I think that the reason if we were hiring our offensive coordinator, I'd hire Cliff Kingsbury. But I don't think I'd want him as my head coach.
And I think Cliff Kingsbury's a guy where he makes a lot more sense in Lubbock than he does anywhere else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like he may be okay there, and I have my doubts that that will even work out very well. But, yeah, I mean, if you were trying to bring, like, a Cliff Kingsbury to Ames, Iowa, or really anywhere that's not Lubbock, Texas,
yeah,
I think it would have been a disaster at that time. So I too, would have him at number 10.
I just think that if he can't have any more than the level of success that he's had in at Texas Tech, where he's, like, one of the best quarterbacks they've ever had,
mm-hmm.
then I don't know what level of success he can have as a head coach. Like I said, if he's your offensive coordinator,
yeah.
you know,
it's a different story.
That's a different story. He'd probably be higher in the list.
I want a guy to lead your program for the next 5 years.
Yeah. That's not the guy.
Who do you have at number 9?
I've got David Beatty.
Interesting. Okay. So we're different here.
Okay. Who you got?
I have Bill Snyder.
See, this is, I didn't realize at first that you wanted it to be for 5 years, but then I thought about it a little bit more. And I was like, I feel like Bill Snyder could get us rolling a little bit in 5 years.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
You know, I mean, think how bad they were at the end of the run. I have him at number 6.
Okay.
But think how bad they were at the end of the run, Prince era.
And yeah.
I mean, not 5 years later that he had him
back
going again.
But he's like 77 years old.
I know. Yeah, that's true. See, but that's the thing. If we can get him to coach until he's 82, if we got to wheel him out there, we'll be good.
I don't like the politics behind the Bill Snyder deal right now going on in Manhattan. Did you read the Dennis Dodd piece?
No.
About how, like, Snyder's trying to force his son down everybody's throat,
okay.
and then there's certain people in the athletic department who don't want him. I don't want to deal with that garbage.
I've actually heard that before.
Yeah.
He says he's going to coach until they tell him that they're going to hire his
son.
Yeah,
and I don't need that. I don't need that around my program.
I don't think that there have been very many situations where that kind of thing worked out.
There's not. There's not, but yeah, I because of age, I put him at number 9. Who do you have at number? So you have Snyder at number 6. I have David Beatty at number 8.
Okay,
I don't mind David Beatty. I really don't mind David Beatty as a head coach. He's a young, energetic guy. He took over a dumpster fire of a program. He recruits Texas well. He's very likable. He's going to do the things that I need my head coach to do, my CEO to do. He's going to go out and kiss babies. He's going to go out to alumni functions and get everybody excited about my football program. So I will put him. Actually, I'm going to move him up. I'm going to move him up. He's number 7. I just talked myself into David Beatty being number 7, and I'll put Matt Rhule from Baylor at number 8. I mean, listen, the guy. I think he's. I think he's going to be an epic failure at Baylor. I really do. He has no Texas ties. You're wanting him to coach in the Big 12. Not only that, but you're wanting him to take over a program with rape culture at Baylor. I don't think this works out well. I'll put him at number 8, David Beatty at number 7.
My 7, 8, 9 were all tough. I felt like they were kind of interchangeable. I was switching them all around. I've got Matt Campbell at number 8, actually.
Wow, okay.
But and it's not because I think that he can recruit, but I just don't know that we've seen the on-field thing yet to where it can warrant putting him higher.
Okay, so we're going to disagree here, and this is good. This is what this is all about, because I feel like we saw a lot on the field with Campbell's staff last year. I mean, I think we
saw a lot too, but I've
covered Iowa State for a long time, and I don't ever remember – for real, a team that improved like it did from game 1 to game 12, even though they were 3-9, I felt like if you watched those games and if you went back and rewatched them like we do, you saw young guys getting substantially better throughout the year on both sides of the ball, and I give Campbell a lot of credit for that. So I'm going to keep you in suspense, but I got Campbell a little higher than you.
See, but it's like I said, I think that this group of guys – I've got Matt Rhule at number 7. I think that group of guys was almost a little bit interchangeable. The reason I have Rhule –
you can't have Rhule ahead of Campbell.
The reason I have him higher is because think about the way that the recruiting class that he came inherited when he took over there at Baylor.
Yeah.
He put together a good recruiting class, even though I think he had one commit when he was named the head coach. He brought in guys with Texas ties. He hired a bunch of guys that were former Texas high school football coaches.
He did.
And so I give him some props for that. He came in and was able to rebuild that recruiting class into something. I mean, it wasn't earth-shattering, but it was at least respectable after he had one commit when he took over.
That's
at
a solid
Baylor.
Matt Rhule take.
Yeah.
You actually made me think about me dissing him. I still don't think he's going to work there because of everything in the past. There's a lot of shadows and stuff.
But I don't know how much that's about Matt Rhule as it is about Baylor.
No, I know. And that's why I thought he didn't take the job, but the SMU coach would have been perfect because he's a Texas guy.
Yeah.
I understand Rhule hired a bunch of dudes. To me, Baylor's a lot like Kansas State. We've seen it work one time. Mm-hmm. And that's when you had this figurehead at the top who everybody worshipped. We'll see.
I'm interested to see what he does with his offense.
I think you're underestimating what Campbell did last year, though, as far as on the field stuff.
That's understandable. I'll accept that. Yeah. I'm sure I'll get. I'm sure I'll hear about it on the forums.
I think I want a little homer on Campbell, but I had Rhule at, I have David Beatty at number 7. Did you went 7, 8, 9? Did you knock those out?
Yeah, 7. It was Rhule, Campbell, Beatty.
Okay, who's your number 6?
Snyder.
Bill Snyder at number 6. I have Dana Holgorsen.
Okay.
At number 6.
Here's, I have him at number 5.
I feel like Holgorsen's had plenty of chances, coaching in the Big 12 now to really get over that hump, and we've still yet to see it. I think
he's going to have a good team this year, though.
Yeah, I think he will, but I still think he's a middle-of-the-pack coach.
Yeah.
And I got Campbell ahead of him. I have Matt Campbell at number 5. Remember, this is to lead your program for the next 5 years. I've seen Matt Campbell scrounge up the 2 best recruiting classes in school history, one of which he took over in December. I really loved the development that I saw from those guys from game 1 until game 12 last year. And I'm going more off of, and you guys will be able to hear this on the website next week, but the old school guys I talked to who really know football, like Steve Loney, I did an interview with him, and he adores Matt Campbell. I got some faith in my guy, and I'm gonna put Matt Campbell at number 5 based off of the recruiting. But more importantly, I like the development. The key for him will be a lot like Kirk Ferentz's success at Iowa. It's gonna come down to continuity. Can he keep his staff together? I think if he can keep his staff together, Iowa State's got a bright future.
See, when I started putting my list together, I think that there's 3 that are at the top that are like you that you can't hardly argue with, and then there's one more that's kind of in the middle, and then all the rest of them are all just kind of interchangeable almost.
I'm interested to see who you have in the 3, because I think there's a 3 as well and the one guy in the middle, but I bet ours is different just based off of a generational thing. So who do you have at number 4? Who's your guy in the middle?
Tom Herman.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I have Tom Herman at number 4 as well.
I just that team last year at Houston was not what it should have been, dude.
They underperformed.
Yeah. That took me off the Tom Herman train a little bit.
I was talking to Ross about this yesterday, that the fact that, if you look at Herman's resume, he wasn't very good at Iowa State. Now, I think a lot of it I don't blame him for. However, they weren't very good. He goes in as Urban Meyer's boy with the best athletes in the country and did very well. Then he took over it was a smart on his account, the best non-Power 5 job in the country in Houston. And he kicked ass the first year and then vastly underachieved in year two, and he capitalizes it with the Texas job. So
right.
I think we're reading this the same way. I think there's a lot to see still from Tom Herman as a head coach.
I just think – and I think this thing with Texas now, it's – I'm worried that he's going to be too – I don't know if this is the right word – gimmicky sometimes. Like, some of the things that it seems like he's been doing so far have seemed kind of gimmicky more than they are.
He's
substance,
very,
you know.
He's got a lot of Harbaugh to him.
Yeah.
Now, Harbaugh is able to win.
I was going to say, but Harbaugh –
so let's see if Herman can.
Yeah. I mean, I look at, like, the P chart, the – championship level urine, you know, like that kind of thing, or like their new lockers that they put in that are like $10,000 a piece. It's like, what, like, I don't get what this does with winning football games. It's just
unfortunately, that damn arms race. I mean, what did Clemson do last year? Dabo did something like that, like with their locker room. I don't even remember what it was, but it was just like, man, come on.
Well, I mean, the ones that Texas got didn't even look good. That's what
I haven't
they
seen
look it. Stupid. And I don't know. They each have like a 50-inch TV on them.
Okay, so we got Herman at number four. Real quick shout out to our sponsor for today's Saturday podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. Jason'sRoofs.com. Really glad to have a commercial roofing company on Cyclone Fanatic. That's the cool thing about our demographics of this website, specifically the podcast. We have people from all over the country, all over the Midwest, all over the great state of Iowa who tune in. And a lot of them, you know, I get tweets and stuff from people who are in their combines. They're listening to the podcast, a lot of construction guys. And if you are interested in a commercial roofing company and hiring, we strongly encourage JasonRoofs.com, JasonsRoofs.com, a proud supporter of CycloneFanatic.com. All right, so we go now to our top three.
I just wanted to say, based on our users that sign up for Cyclone Fanatic, we also have quite a few followers in the great country of India.
India and, like, jeez, Bahrain. Like,
Myanmar.
Jared just got the job of – this is a total pain in the ass, but we do it for you guys. A lot of the diehards at Fanatic will remember back in the day, like, where we just get spammed all the time, like people wanting to sell, like, high-quality, cheap jerseys and stuff like that. Well, so now we have to approve and deny every user. And I taught Jared how to do it last week. I'm like, if they're from India, you know, they're not in.
Yeah.
Nothing good comes from from India wanting to log on to Cyclone Fanatic.
There was somebody that was on our Facebook page that kept sending us messages that I think lived in, like, Germany.
Oh, and we kept denying
him. Yeah, I kept denying him. And he didn't understand.
Did we get him in?
I don't know. He might have stopped messaging us.
Oh, well, that's too bad. I apologize if you're listening.
All right, number three. I've got Mike Gundy.
So do I. Man, it's weird how we're matching up.
I was going to say, we're matching up a lot here.
We've watched a little too much football together in the time.
Yeah.
So let's just do our top three, and we'll discuss why we did that order.
All right, I've got Gundy, Patterson, Stoops.
Yeah, I do too. I have Stoops 1, Patterson 2, Gundy 3. I thought we were going to have a age differential when
it came
to Gary Patterson. I thought that you were going to put Herman in with Stoops and Gundy. I'm impressed, young lad.
Well, it's just
I'm impressed by you. You just impressed me here by putting Gary Pat because Patterson's not gimmicky. Like as far as like the offense goes, now he's brought in some offensive coordinators to do that. But if Patterson could make the decision, he would line up and play Big Ten style of ball. My whole deal is like with my league and my school here. There's one thing I know that's going to transfer, and that's good defense. And Patterson's one of the great defensive minds we've ever seen.
Well, and I just think back before TCU was in the Big 12. I mean, every single year he was pretty much the most sought-after non-Power 5 coach, you know. Like, he was always the guy that they're saying, is he going to leave TCU? Is he going to leave TCU? And now, finally, TCU is Power 5, and he would never leave TCU, you know. So it's just like that – He's done well in recruiting. He's done well in being able to adapt what his program did from where they went with the Andy Daltons of the world to then with the Trevon Boykins to keep them relevant.
I would point out as well that I think that Patterson is he's in a fertile recruiting ground where he's at, so he has that advantage. However, they have a terrible fan base. TCU fans are horrible. I mean, they'll be playing for – Yeah, I mean, just think of that game with Iowa State a few years ago where they won by like 60 or whatever it was. But, I mean, they're playing for a spot in the college football playoff, and it's half full.
Right.
So my point is, I think if I can get Gary Patterson to come to my school where we got a passionate crowd, where every Saturday it's going to be filled up with people, I think he could even be a better recruiter than he currently is. That's the one problem I have with Gundy, too. This is an issue I have with Gundy now. He's won in Stillwater, and that's not an easy thing to do. However, you know, Gundy, he took over for Les Miles, mm-hmm. and so the program was already coming around. The biggest thing is, like, I'm not going to have a T-Boone.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
I'm at. You know what I mean? So, like, but I don't want to short Gundy. I think Gundy's a great coach. I think that he's gotten a lot better with defense over the years, and I love the charisma that he brings to the job. I won't lie, though. I had a conversation internally about putting Tom Herman ahead of Mike Gundy.
He's never really been a very good recruiter. I'm looking back through his.
Gundy hasn't?
Yeah, his recruiting rankings. See, they're in the top 15 right now, but it's really early.
They're
like in the 30s to the 40s. Yeah. There's one at 28.
But that's a hard job to pull in top 15 classes too.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Stillwater, Jared?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
It seemed like he was right on the verge of really getting it rolling. And then after, you know, some guys got in trouble and stuff like that when Dez Bryant was there and like Justin Blackman and all those guys, then it all kind of just fell off. I don't know what happened. Like, why did that happen, you know? It seemed like they were pumping out NFL guys year after year. And then all of a sudden it kind of just stopped.
I guess the whole Big 12 missile crisis may have had something to do with that.
And, I mean, do you think Dana Holgorsen, being his offensive coordinator, had more to do with it too? Because wasn't
Perhaps.
He the offensive coordinator in those years when they had
Yes.
the really high-powered offense?
Yes, he was. I don't know. I think the Big 12 missile crisis really hurt the entire league's recruiting there for a while.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of these like high-profile kids just didn't know.
2007, they were 22.
It was so much up in air around 2009, 2010, and I think it really impacted. That would be my guess, but I don't follow.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, they were in the 20s, like in the mid, like 2006, 2007, with those classes with Dez Bryant and Russell Okung and guys like that. But then, yeah, they've dropped back into the mid-30s to the lower 30s.
Did you ever have a discussion to not put Bob Stoops number one?
No.
Yeah, neither did I. He's just done too much. He's still relatively young.
Dude, still, he's just been too consistent for too long.
Yeah.
And he's not, yeah, like you said, he's too young to look at it and be like, for 5 years, that guy isn't going to be around.
I agree. All right, moving on. Real quick, just want to touch on a couple other things before we go here on the Saturday podcast sponsored by JasonRoofs.com. Did you you had an opportunity to catch up with the guy who is doing the tournament team, the Iowa State team?
Yeah.
When do we know Iowa State's situation, like if they're going to be in the tournament, and when do we know the team?
He told me that June 1st they'll be able to announce a lot more of their team.
So who's playing on that team right now that we know of?
Okay, they've got Craig Brackens.
Okay.
Curtis Stinson. Cortland Jackson. Booba Paulo.
Tyrus McGee,
yeah, I'm blanking on some. I think that's
and
the
Fizer's
five
the
that
coach?
They've got for sure, and then Fizer's the coach. And he told me that they're going to have 11 or 12 initially.
Why can't they tell us now? I'm confused on that.
Well, there's a bunch of guys that are overseas.
Like Edgem?
Yeah. Like
I think Edgem's going to play on it, isn't he?
Yeah, from what it sounds like they were having dialogue with Edgem and Chris Babb. I know that they've talked to DeAndre Kane, but they've got to get him to leave the team that won the tournament last year. They've talked to Royce, and he's checking his schedule.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Dustin Hogue was another one that he said that they've talked to. But the thing with the June 1st is that all these guys are still playing overseas. But by that time, they'll all be done. So then they'll be able to announce a lot more of them. Daryl Bowie was one that they announced this week.
Daryl Bowie?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for Daryl.
But like I said, he said that he thinks they'll have 11 or 12 initially. But then they're going to have like some kind of training camp or something like that. And then they'll actually carry 9 into the tournament.
So like guys are going to have to compete for a job?
Yeah. I looked at what the dates are.
Bowie's not making that team. Sorry, Daryl.
The July 15th and 16th are the dates of the
They need
the
some
Midwest
shooters.
Region.
So I mean, so you got Tyrus and you got Chris Babb. Like, who are our other shooters that we got? They need some shooters.
Yeah, I don't know. Boo Boo can shoot a little bit.
We got a bunch of slashers that you keep naming off. I need some shooters on this team. Boo Boo would be one of the better players on that team.
Melvin can shoot a little bit too.
People think of what they saw from Boo Boo just in an Iowa State uniform. Like, Boo Boo in his current form would be one of the better players on that roster.
I play noon ball with Boo Boo, so I know that that is 100% true.
How's he looking?
He's good, dude.
Is he still in the D League?
He was, but I think he kind of got hurt, and then he was like, came back here for a rehab and then went back, and then they weren't very good. So I think that his season ended kind of early.
Gotcha.
But I'm sure he'll – yeah, I think he was still with Sioux Falls this year. So that's something at least.
Yeah. Well, he's playing professional basketball.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's getting paid to play basketball. That's all I know. But, yeah, so June 1st is the day that I think that they'll pretty much have most of their team filled out. But then, like I said, they're going to do that dang, they got bumped down in the team voting.
What does that mean?
They were in I guess they're still first in the Midwest, but somebody passed them in the overall one.
So are they still in?
Yeah, well, they'll still be okay. It's like the top 30 or something like that get in, but yeah, so the five that they've actually got like officially signed up are Bowie, Pfizer, Boo Boo, Tyrus, and Cortland. But they're just like slowly doing that, I think, getting everybody signed in.
I love it. Good stuff.
But yeah, like I said, July 15th and 16th in Peoria. Tickets are cheap for anybody that really wants to go. I was looking at this the other day. It's like $10. You can get a 4-pack of tickets for $40. You can get a VIP package for $25, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, Braves Club room access. Access to the Braves Club hospitality suite, $25.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and send you.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
I think our demographic will really eat this up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, that's something that I was talking to Anthony about. He said that he didn't think that anybody had ever – or they'd ever had a team in the tournament that would have a fan base like Iowa State before, where they would travel, especially with as close as they're playing the regional games.
Can Pfizer coach? I'm a little concerned.
I guess we're going to find out, aren't we? He wants – Anthony told me that they're using this as an opportunity for Marcus to get into the coaching world, so hopefully he can.
I hope so, too, for Marcus.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be great. All right, Saturday podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. This continues to go over well. We're getting great numbers with this deal, so we'll continue to do it. Thanks to jasonsroofs.com. jasonsroofs.com. Hey, if you're looking for a commercial roofing company, we got your guys, jasonsroofs.com. They're all over the Midwest. Check them out today. He's Jared Stansberry.
Were you going to mention Hans Brace, too?
Oh, do you want me to mention Hans Brace?
Well, I thought we talked about that before. You said you were going to.
Yeah, I think it's 50-50.
Okay. I was reminding you before we
went
it's off.
I think it's Iowa State or Georgia Tech.
Josh Pastner, man.
Yeah, I hope they get him, man.
Yeah,
I hope they get him. That would really help next year.
Definitely.
That would really help next year. All right. Later, guys. Have a great weekend. It's beautiful out here in Iowa. Enjoy.